Welcome. It's Thursday, April 9th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief, your fast and focused update on the stories shaping Israel and the Middle East. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. Coming up, a conversation with Yaakov Lapin, security analyst and host of The Lapin Assessment. But first, the headlines. Millions of Israeli children have returned to school for the first time in weeks after the United States reached a 14-day ceasefire with Iran. President Trump says US troops will remain in the region, warning that the war will resume if no agreement is reached in talks set to begin tomorrow in Pakistan. Iran says its delegation will arrive in Islamabad tomorrow. Despite the ceasefire, Iran has effectively restricted traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Only a handful of ships are passing each day, down from around 100 a day before the war. The White House denies the strait is closed. The Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah claimed responsibility for multiple rocket attacks on northern Israel this morning, describing them as retaliation for Israeli strikes on hundreds of targets yesterday. Israeli and US officials say Hezbollah is not covered by the ceasefire, while Iran insists that it is. France, Spain, and the UK are all calling for Lebanon to be included in the truce. NATO wasn't there when we needed them, and they won't be there again. That was President Trump on social media following talks with the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Trump's reportedly planning to punish some NATO allies by withdrawing troops and redeploying them elsewhere. Several European states refused American requests to use their airspace or contribute naval forces to secure the Strait of Hormuz. Even Rutte acknowledged that some allies had been less than helpful, telling CNN that he understood Trump's frustration. Hamas says it fears Israel will use the ceasefire with Iran to escalate operations in Gaza. Officials told Saudi media the group's concerned it will be sidelined as Iran focuses on Hezbollah. The IDF says it has killed a key Hamas operative in central Gaza, Mohammed Washa, who it says was also working as a journalist for Al Jazeera and who was involved in planning attacks on Israeli forces. In the United States, Pakistani national Mohammad Shazib Khan has pleaded guilty to attempting to carry out a terrorist attack. According to the Justice Department, he planned a mass shooting at a Jewish center in Brooklyn, inspired by ISIS and timed for October 7th, the anniversary of the Hamas attacks. Israel's energy sector is coming back online. The energy ministry says operations have now resumed at the Karish gas platform in the northern Mediterranean. The larger Leviathan field returned to activity almost a week ago, while the Tamar platform in the south has remained operational throughout the war. Well, before we turn to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsors. Today's episode was made possible by Amy and Jonathan Ayres. Well, let's hear now today's conversation with Yaakov Lapin. Yaakov, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us on the newscast this morning. Let's jump in with the ceasefire because, you know, it's very nice. All the children have gone back to school, most of the children anyway. Yeah, I am seeing a lot of negativity in the Israeli media. What do you think? Do you think President Trump stopped the war too soon?
Well, I think that the commentary in both the Israeli and American media has been very binary. Either people are celebrating, you know, the all-out victory, or they're in some sort of mourning. For me, as a military analyst, it's all a bit bizarre because at the end of the day, we're dealing with a very complex enemy, and the situation is much more nuanced in my view. So I think that, you know, when you speak to the military people here, the IDF, what they say is that most of the goals that they set for themselves in this war, they have met. And we can break that down. Most of the Iranian missile program has been destroyed slash neutralized. The nuclear program, which never really recovered from the June war, has been hit even further. So the Iranians are not enriching uranium. And the sites that they did set up, their R&D sites and their hopes to transfer some future, you know, enrichment activities underground, all of those activities have been severely hit, as well as nuclear scientists. And the IRGC and regime command, you know, the first tier, the second tier, has been essentially wiped out. And the besiege, you know, very, very severely hit. So the regime has taken hundreds of billions of dollars of infrastructure damage, which they're not going to be able to rebuild tomorrow, despite many claims to the contrary. This is not a, a magical regime that can take something that took it more than 30 years to build and rebuild in a week. So I think it's very unfortunate that the media commentary is so superficial. And of course, not all goals have been met. But, you know, one of the problems is that we haven't had a clear definition of what the goals are. When you speak to the military, you get a pretty clear picture of what the goals were, which is rolling back existential threats. First and foremost, the missile program. That's the reason that Israel launched this operation. That was the trigger. It was the mass production of missiles. And of course, using the opportunity to also hit the nuclear and the regime command. But because so many people are measuring this by whether the regime has survived or not, which is also, by the way, premature in my view, Laura, because how do we know if this regime is going to survive in a year's time? Nobody knows. So this sort of instant gratification and attempt to immediately decide, you know, who won and who lost, I just think it's not factual and it's not fact-based.
Let's talk about Hezbollah, because Israel gave them an absolute pounding over the weekend and they responded with rocket strikes today. Just give me a sense, where do you see that headed in the next couple of days?
So first of all, the fact that the Lebanese arena has been detached from the Iranian arena, we have a ceasefire in one and not in the other, that in itself, in my view, is an Israeli achievement, because that is, you know, very, I would say, telling about Iran's lack of ability to control what happens in an area that it considered to be run by its proxy, which is no longer the case. Southern Lebanon is experiencing a very dramatic shift. The fact that over 600,000 Lebanese Shiites evacuated, that's Hezbollah's, you know, human shield and civilian ecosystem. That's the shadow state that they were building. We have to remember that these terror armies are based on a whole supporting framework, which is the civilian shadow state that they built to enable their terror armies to recruit, to use human shields, to embed all of their offensive capabilities in the civilian infrastructure. That has essentially been pushed out of southern Lebanon. That's extremely dramatic, and Israel is saying very clearly that those civilians cannot come back so long as there's a threat to the civilians of northern Israel. If there has to be a choice between who's going to be evicted or from their homes, I mean, nobody in southern Lebanon was evicted. They received warnings, but essentially Hezbollah de facto pushed them out of their homes by using their areas as a strike and staging areas and shooting rockets and anti-tank missiles and, you know, all of the things we know that Hezbollah does. So the choice is Israel is reflecting the correct balance of power. It's southern Lebanon that's going to be reshaped by Hezbollah's activities, not northern Israel. Northern Israel will not be evacuated. It's southern Lebanon that will. And that means that Hezbollah's entire shadow state has been essentially pushed out of southern Lebanon. That's extremely dramatic. And now Israel is setting up a new security zone. Some people want to call it a buffer zone. They're all different kinds of names. It's not going to be like what we saw in the 80s and 90s with, you know, dozens of posts. It's going to be much more based on standoff firepower and intelligence in more modern ways. But at the end of the day, the IDF is going to be in control of southern Lebanon up until the Litani River for years to come.
Real quick words on Hamas, because they're feeling a bit left out today. They've been left out of the ceasefire and they're worried that Israel will take advantage to hit them even harder in Gaza. Where do you see that going?
I think that, you know, it makes sense that the Israeli defense establishment and cabinet are working in terms of priorities. So right now it's Iran and Hezbollah. And once that gets done, the attention will turn back to Gaza. I think that's the proper way of managing these multiple fronts. In Gaza, Israel controls 50% of the territory, but very few Gazan civilians are there. What that essentially means is that Hamas is starting to rebuild itself in the 50% of Gaza that it controls. And of course, after October 7th, this is not a reality that Israel is going to tolerate. So Hamas will be given an ultimatum, either disarm, which they're not going to do, or I think we're going to see a resumption of the military operation in Gaza. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I see it almost as inevitable, Laura, because I don't see Hamas disarming. They could try and, you know, deceive some naive observers and say, look, we've given you a few trucks with Kalashnikovs, we've disarmed, but that's not going to fool anybody who knows what Hamas has built in the areas that it still controls, the tunnels, the anti-tank missiles, the RPGs, the thousands of operatives that it's now recruiting. This can't be allowed to start festering again.
And finally, Dutch AI company Nebius is in talks to acquire Israeli firm AI21 Labs after NVIDIA withdrew from earlier negotiations. AI21, co-founded by Professor Amnon Shashua, was last valued at $1.4 billion and is reportedly seeking a multi-billion dollar exit. The potential deal highlights continued momentum in Israel's tech sector, with major investments and acquisitions moving forward despite the war and the ongoing reserve duty pressures on the workforce. That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Be sure to sign up for daily updates, and we'll be back soon.